It's local and it matters. It's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Good morning. Welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk and 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. Glad you joined us today. I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. I was down at the beach and, you know, we decided to go despite the bad outlook for the weather. And it was, we had a great time. It was overcast, not a lot of sun, but it was nowhere near as bad as the forecast. So, you know, as I was telling my family, this is now sort of the 4th of July is the line of demarcation for the second part of the year. So we can sort of rebuild on, readjust what we did on the first 6 months and move forward the next 6 months. And so this will be our first show for the second part of the year. And, you know, we've got a good one for you, got a lot of local information. But I will tell you that I a little bit triggered this morning in regards to education. And so you want to stay tuned in here at 11:30. We'll talk about what the National Education Association did over the last week in terms of, I guess, trying to encourage teachers to adopt certain policies related to critical race theory. But not just that. It's a list that it's one page, and I'm going to run through it. It goes from A through F. It was a new business item that the NEA adopted. And I'm afraid if you're listening to this and you have kids, you're going to, you know, if they were in school, you would go take them out. But don't react emotionally. Digest this information, and you need to start looking forward to how this is going to be. These guidelines are going to impact teachers, not only the state, say in Florida, and also here locally in Leon County. But for those people who said that Ron DeSantis was overstepping his authority, or, you know, was overreacting to critical race theory is not even taught in K-12. Well, when you get a load of what the NEA did, you're going to understand why Governor DeSantis did what he did. And so, stay tuned. We'll go over that in the 11:30 hour with specifics. I mean, this language does not lead a lot of room for interpretation. It's pretty clear what the goal is. Now, the point would be, you know, with any national organization, how effectively are they going to be able to get this moved down to the different levels and in the actual classroom? But again, we'll talk about all that and the implications. The city commission is going to be having a meeting Wednesday. At the end of our last segment, we'll go through a couple of those items that are noteworthy, in my opinion. And then obviously on Thursday, we'll have a rundown of what the city commission did and how much more money they're spending and what policies they're implementing. So we'll go over that. But I do want, in this next segment, we're going to deal with, after our opening, what happened at the CRA on Thursday. We were on air during the meeting, and you know, we gave you a little bit of an update, but Mayor John Daley tweeted out after the meeting that we approved the Frenchtown Quarters and Marketplace Project, approved the Frenchtown Neighborhood First Plan. We funded the Norman J. Clement Leadership Academic Community Development Center, approved the TLH Arts Project, and also approved funding for Magnolia Oaks Affordable Housing Development. If that seems like a lot of action, it does. And a lot of times some of this stuff doesn't, you know, it's more show than actual policy. But we're looking at about $13, $14 million of projects there that the CRA approved. And I know we've talked about this before, but we'll run through some more of the specifics in the next segment. And, you know, the CRA... just because you're not in the CRA doesn't mean you're not funding the CRA. This money has got to come from somewhere. And what happens is the tax dollars that are generated with that CRA are not allocated to help out throughout the city. They're only appropriated for that one area. And so other taxpayers have to basically pick up a little more weight to provide the basic community services. So that's one of the things why you should be interested in all this money is being spent. Now, something else. And I was talking to a colleague this morning about this. You know, obviously there's there's money that is flush because of the COVID pandemic, and federal and state aid coming to these communities. I mean, I think I saw an article where the state of Florida, some ungodly amount of money, $99 million was returned back in, I think it was rental assistance money that couldn't even be allocated. There was not a use for it. So this just really goes to show you that our system is really flooded with money. And you start seeing the city commission voting on these projects, which involves tens of millions of dollars, and there's very little pushback. It's just, 5-0 votes. Now, there was some pushback, and we'll talk about really what generates pushback on the Northeast Gateway project, but not on these projects that are centered downtown in the inner city. It doesn't seem to be any pushback on spending money there with developers, which I think is an interesting difference. But the system seems to be flush with money. I don't know when it's going to end, but we're spending a lot. We'll keep an eye on that. But I did want to give you also an update on this tropical storm. Now, I'm not a weather expert, but I can read these tweets that come out. And, this storm, everybody was concerned with and still a lot of concern. But from what I understand from the very beginning, is moving fast, was not going to be able to really reach hurricane strength. And it may just barely. But the path that they're showing now looks like that Tallahassee is going to be on the west side of the forecasted cone. And when it looks like it's headed for Tampa, which in the forecasted wind speeds at that point would be anywhere between 40 and 70 miles an hour, just below hurricane speed. And then once it hits land and starts moving up, it looks like just probably west of Gainesville and west of Jacksonville, the winds are going to be less than 40 miles an hour. So the peak storm surge forecast goes up just north of Tampa. So it looks like we're going to sort of dodge any impact or major impact from this if these forecasted pass, which the one I'm looking at is from yesterday. And so, unless there's some major change, but it's headed over Cuba now. And so we'll see how the mountains and going over land really impact where it's headed. But it looks like it's going to really start to bend to the right and end up, look at this, the path is for it to be off of Manhattan, New York City at 2 p.m. on Friday. So it's going to really bend around to the east. So we'll keep an eye on that. But when we get back, we're going to turn our attention to the Community Redevelopment Agency and the millions of dollars that are being spent there in Frenchtown. And we will talk about the specifics. We'll give you some money, give you some details about exactly where this money's headed, developers, neighborhood projects, and what the goal is and what the hope of spending this money will accomplish over the next 4 to 5 years. All right. You've been listening to Above the Fold. We'll be right back after this break.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Spartan Stoneworks, one of the most common and cost-effective upgrades anyone can make to their home is the kitchen. You're almost guaranteed to increase the value of your home with an updated kitchen, but quality materials like granite, quartz, and marble countertops can get expensive. Well, not when you go with Spartan Stoneworks. Pricing will be lower than anywhere else because they don't mark up the cost of stone materials. The way they see it, since they didn't carve it out of the mountain themselves, they're not going to charge any made-up fees as if they did. Great pricing, amazing craftsmanship, and quick turnaround from an honest local company. Give them a call at 765-2037. That's 765-2037. And we appreciate their sponsorship. And if you're just joining us, I encourage you to stick around for the 11:30 hour. Or the 11:30 part of the show, we'll be talking about the National Education Association's latest move into trying to get teachers to push some very controversial topics, so we'll deal with that. But right now, we wanted to turn our attention to dollars, to money here locally. And as I've talked about the CRA, a lot on this show, the Community Redevelopment Agency. It affects everybody from a money standpoint. CRA is a geographical area that's carved out as an area that needs help, and all their tax dollars go to that area. Their city tax dollars go to that area to help instead of going to aid in community-wide efforts. So everybody is supporting the CRA and these improvements, and it's a statewide creature, the CRA. And look, there's been a lot of critiques of CRAs, but here we've got the Tallahassee CRA, which is Frenchtown Southside, and they are very active, and that's what we want to talk about in this segment. They had a meeting on July 1st and really approved a lot of programs over the next 4 or 5 years, a lot of dollars going into the Frenchtown neighborhood specifically, 12 to 13 million. The first major program was they approved this Frenchtown development, $6.5 million, which has been on the board for a couple of years. They've had some issues of trying to getting it done, but it was on Thursday, the CRA approved the Frenchtown Quarters and Marketplace Community Benefit Agreement. And it says the agreement will provide $6.5 million in grant payments. The key there is grant. That means that's money that goes out the door and has really no, it's not coming back. So there's no promise of payment back. Over 7 years to help subsidize a project aimed at revitalizing an area that once was the location of a homeless shelter. In addition, the CRA will sell 5 CRA-owned parcels to the developer for $10. Now, you know, part of this is when you start talking about development, people are going to make money. Developers, landowners, and the Bethel Church here in town owns a couple of the lots that this development is going on. So they're going to have to be purchased by the developer. So there's money that's what some of this millions of dollars of grants, I assume, would go toward. Now, the CRA owns some of the lots, and they're just donating them to this project because they feel like that this will be a benefit to the community, and that's how they want this land to be used. Now, interestingly, that the agreement here is between the CRA and a development company, or a company that's based in Miami, Florida. So, you know, we've tried to do a little bit of background on this developer. We haven't been able to do too much yet. Ran into a dead end. It wasn't registered with the SunBiz at this point, the LLC that the CRA is going to be doing business with. Now, the agreement hasn't been signed. It's been voted on by the city commission. So we're going to follow up on that. But the development concept includes two four-story mixed-use buildings with a total of 130 affordable units, approximately 21,000 square feet of ground floor retail space, and up to 292 residential and retail parking places. The total cost of the project could reach up to $40 million. Now, the agreement, they call this an agreement with the developer because in return for this, the developer is, you know, telling a city, we're going to hire local employees, we're going to have minority businesses that are going to be participating in this. We're going to try to address the food desert critique that we have in a lot of the areas around town, provide fresh food options through a grocery market. There's going to have an apprentice program where the developers will place a minimum of 2 apprentices from diversity, inclusion, disadvantaged worker programs in all various trades during the construction of the development. So this is, this is a public-private partnership in the extreme definition of that. There's going to be a lot of regulations from the city they're going to have to follow up on. But the question is, you know, will this be able to generate money for the developer? Because they're going to have to buy the land and build it. And then the question would be, that money's going to be out the door. And, you know, on the negative side of this, you know, the city center that's down there off of Martin Luther King Boulevard now, where you go to pay your utility bill, and there's some growth management offices there. That was supposed to be sort of what this is trying to be. There was supposed to be some retail on the bottom floor, which never developed. So we'll have to see if this does better. I'm not sure why they didn't maybe recast that city center down there in this vision. But anyway, so that's $6.5 million. Now, the next project that they went ahead and appropriated another $6.4 million. It's called the Greater Frenchtown, what's called the Frenchtown Neighborhood First Plan. And so this is, you know, this is a plan that was developed under the city's Neighborhood Policy and Safety Initiative Program. And this initiative is a collaborative between the city of Tallahassee and the local public safety collective. And one of the major objectives of this initiative is to engage neighborhood residents in efforts to create safer neighborhoods. So this $6.5 million, they got together and put together this plan by focusing first on crime prevention, education, and community beautification. A lot of money, and you know, they developed this plan, and they've asked for this money, and the CRA has, you know, looked at it. They've got community feedback and decided that this was a good investment of money that will be distributed over the next 5 or 6 years. Again, $6.4 million, which is about a million a year. And the Frenchtown group has developed and adopted an initial investment plan for the funding and implementation of the Frenchtown Neighborhood First Plan. And the investment, the initial investment includes about $5.5 million. And I wanted to just give you a quick overview of the priority areas. So they've got housing, which they've got $1.5 million involved with, neighborhood safety and crime prevention, $250,000, health and resident empowerment, $750,000, $1 million for economic development and community reinvestment, and $665,000 for placemaking and neighborhood imaging. Now, you know, again, a lot of money, and it seems like we go through this trying to revitalize a neighborhood every 15 to 20 years. You know, one of the concerns here is that the student housing developments are starting to move Frenchtown or change the quote character of Frenchtown. And so I guess, you know, the idea here is that this investment in the Neighborhood First Plan will be a counterbalance. It will help create a positive force in the community and help progress Frenchtown out of what has become, you know, a lack of economic development and, you know, very heavy on crime, unfortunately. And so, but I think it's important for our taxpayers to know where this money is coming from and where it's going. And so now you know that. Now, the one thing I wanted to focus on in the last 2 minutes here is that this was an overwhelmingly, this was an anonymous vote. I mean, not anonymous, it was a unanimous vote by the City Commission 5-0. And I think this is a lot different than what you heard about the development in Northeast Tallahassee, the Kennedy or the Wolani Plantation vote, which was the Northeast Gateway. And if you remember the critiques you heard about developers making money, or, you know, it was too expensive without any guarantee of the outcome. Well, this looks to be almost the same thing. Now, you might argue that the money is a little bit less, but it's still millions of dollars. And we're investing this with money going to a developer out of Miami, Florida, versus here. I think a lot of the developer for the Northeast Gateway was actually located in Leon County. So I think we're going to have to be very careful and keep an eye on some of the hypocrisy that we hear about development. So it looks like that maybe it wasn't development that they were against, that some of the people that opposed the Northeast Gateway. Looks like maybe it was the part of town that it was in. Now, look, there can be a good argument there that, you know, maybe you don't need it there. But, I mean, I think overall there was a lot of analysis that showed that it was a positive development for the area. But, again, I think it's something to keep an eye on. So, all right, when we get back, as I promised, the NEA has made a statement that's going to trickle down and affect state level and local education policy, and we're going to tell you about it when we get back. I'm Steve Stewart. You've been listening to Above the Fold.
If live, it's local, and it matters. It's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. Disclaimer on what I'm about to talk about here. This comes from courtesy of the National Education Association, which is the National Teachers Union. Now, we don't have, this just happened over the last few days, so we don't have statements from the Florida Education Association or the Leon County Teachers Association. But what this is a warning shot, and it's a caution flag to you parents out there who are concerned about this, to take note of it. And we will, over the next week or so, try to figure out exactly what this means from a practical standpoint, on down into from the state to the actual school level here. And to set this up, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis took a lot of grief about his critique of critical race theory and it being taught in K-12 schools, and he made a big deal about it. Florida Board of Education approved the DeSantis's rule of banning teaching about critical race theory. But a lot of the critics of Governor DeSantis was, look, this isn't even being taught in K-12. This is something that's been around for a long time, and it's a theoretical construct that has been talked about in law schools and on some college campuses. And this is not even needed. Once again, Governor DeSantis is just trying to stir up his base. This is a political maneuver. But now comes the NEA. The NEA has passed a policy, and I'm going to read from, I can find this here, MSN, which is Microsoft, basically MSNBC, which is, no conservative news outlet. And I'm going to read you exactly how they assessed this vote by the NEA on this business item related to critical race theory. It says here, America's largest teachers union has announced it backs the teaching of critical race theory in schools, wants to hire staff to, quote, fight back against those who oppose CRT, and has called for an October 14th rally to be held in honor of George Floyd's birthday. Now, the National Education Association, so that's the teachers union. So now it's important to understand that, we have the Florida Education Association, which is a teachers union, which is, I would assume, is affiliated with the NEA. And then we have here in Leon County a teachers association union, which is affiliated with both of those organizations. So, ultimately, I want to know where our teachers union in Leon County is on this. And we're going to promise we'll get to it, but I want to be sure what we're talking about today is from the NEA. It says here, the NEA, National Educators Association, recently approved a resolution to promote critical race theory through its existing channels, work to fight back against opponents of the practice. Now, this, again, is like I said previously, this is what Governor Ron DeSantis looks like he was trying to stop. Now it is headed this way. What I want to do is go over some of the specifics, the original document, not reading a report of what they're actually proposing to do. It says here, they want to share and publicize through existing channels information already available on critical race theory, what it is and what it is not. Now, that seems like it's non-biased, but then the next sentence is, have a team of staffers for members who want to learn more and fight against anti-CRT rhetoric. So in other words, they're already biased in favor of CRT, and share information with other NEA members, which would be the teachers, you would think, here in Leon County, they're teaching your kids, as well as their community members. All right, they want to provide an already created in-depth study that critiques. Now, listen to the groups that they want to critique. And then we're going to talk about the ones that are left out. An in-depth study that critiques white supremacy, anti-blackness, anti-indigeneity, racism, patriarchy, capitalism, and other forms of power and oppression. What they don't include there is they don't want to teach already created in-depth studies about anti-Christianity beliefs, moves to quell Christian beliefs. They don't talk about socialism. They don't want to critique communism. They don't want to talk about the strengths of the family or the impacts of the family. And they also said they want to oppose attempts to ban critical race theory or the 1619 Project. So they are clear. The NEA is clearly all in on the left-wing approach to critical race theory. Now, I would argue that we're gonna watch where this trickles down to, but this is something we've got to get our school board members, we've got to get our superintendent, and we've got to get our teachers, frankly, the people that represent our teachers on record, is do they agree with this? Because we've heard up to this point that, oh, this isn't an issue in K through 12 schools. It's not something that we should even be dealing with. Well, what does this mean? If that was the case, this obviously is a major change in what those people were telling us. Now, it goes on, it gets much worse. It says here, we're going to join with Black Lives Matter at School. Now, I had never heard of this. Black Lives Matter at School is an organization that was started in 2016 in Seattle. So this is the NEA is going to join with this group up to call for a rally this year on October 14th, George Floyd's birthday, as a national day of action to teach lessons about structural racism and oppression, followed by one day of action that recognizes and honors the lives taken, such as Breonna Taylor, Philando Castile, and others. Now, they're going to recognize the lives of, unfortunately, just African-Americans that were taken during law enforcement actions. There are whites, and I've talked about this, that have lost their lives, just like George Floyd, the same type of thing, knee on the back, Texas. Breonna Taylor, happened in Maryland. A white man was killed, and actually, it may have been a Hispanic man, was killed with a no-knock warrant. But again, this is, it's one thing for politicians to take that and try to take advantage of it from a political standpoint. Now we have the NEA trying to take advantage of this and promote it within our schools. So a little bit of a jump there from the, you know, from the politicians using it as an emotional trigger to get people on their side politically. And now we've got the NEA jumping in. So very concerning. And again, you know, it is an issue that Governor DeSantis had signaled was going to be a problem. His critics said it wouldn't be, and now it looks like it's on its way here. I don't know where this would stop. Is Leon County, are they able to take a vote and say that, hey, we are not going to move forward with what the NAA supports? I'm not sure exactly. You know, the power, I will tell you that the Teachers Association here not only negotiated salaries and benefits for teachers, they negotiated on how to deal with the COVID pandemic and some of the requirements that they were seeking in terms of what they viewed as safety issues. So now, are they going to start taking a position on critical race theory and how they are able to teach this in schools? I mean, this is going to be something to keep an eye on. Let me finish up here with what the business item 39 is the name of it, and I think you're going to hear more and more about it over the next couple of weeks. But they're going to also conduct virtual listening tour that will educate members. Now, this, when they say members, we're talking about teachers. They're going to conduct a virtual listening tour that will educate members on the tools and resources needed to defend honesty in education, which sounds good, but then they include, but not limited to, tools like CRT, critical race theory. The last part of this adopted policy is that we'll commit President Becky Pringle to make public statements across all lines of media that support racial honesty in education, which includes critical race theory. So I don't know how clear it can be that not only is the teaching of critical race theory becoming a major focus of the teachers' unions that represent our teachers here in Leon County and teachers in Florida, then this document right here. And it goes beyond critical race theory. It goes to, like I said, critiques of capitalism. Well, where is the critique of socialism and communism and other forms of government? They felt the need to just highlight capitalism. And so this is going to be, boy, this coming out just ahead of the elections in 2022, I think will also have an impact. But we'll see if this gets reported on here in our local and statewide media. We obviously will have something up in Tallahassee the reports over the next couple of days. But this is a very big issue. And, hey, you heard about it, I'm sure, here locally first on Above the Fold. All right, when we get back, we'll continue our discussion on this just a little bit in terms of what we think the impact might be here locally. And then also we'll turn our attention to the City Commission meeting, highlight a couple of items that they'll be addressing on Wednesday. You're listening to Above the Fold. I'll be right back after this break.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Hi, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home, but it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way, and I recommend starting with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need interior, exterior paint, high-end, or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you. Give them a call at 385-6649. That's 385-6649. And we appreciate their sponsorship here on Above the Fold. Look, before we... I'm still just flabbergasted at this one sheet that I think is going to just change a lot in the next month or two. Now, I may be overreacting, but I don't think so, because one of the defining lines here was, this critical race theory discussion is just a waste of time because, you know, not even teaching it in K-12, and then you come out with a teachers union saying we are going to teach it in school and we're going to prepare our teachers to be ready to fight those that are against it, and they go beyond that. And so it is, it's going to be interesting. What I wanted to talk about here at the beginning of the segment is we've seen a lot of, issues come up at the school board in terms of related to race. We saw Joey Bowen talk about, teaching African-American kids how to deal with law enforcement when they're pulled over. Again, the focus on African-American kids, not all kids, just, a certain race. We saw the school board member, Daryl Jones, criticize a group that, or inform a group that came up to speak on an issue that they didn't look like his demographic, and that if they wanted to have more impact, maybe they needed to reach across, the racial lines and bring people of color to speak. So we are well on our way here in this city of adopting this national narrative, unfortunately, of casting everything around race. And so this business item that was passed by the NAA, and this isn't some low-level committee looking to do work. They're including the president of the organization, Becky Pringle, to make public statements across the, all media outlets. And they're talking about really getting the tools to teachers to be able to teach critical race theory. So it makes Governor Ron DeSantis look very prophetic in what he has done here in the state of Florida. Wanted to get that in about that NEA move, and I just would implore people to ask questions, because you're talking about, you want to see something like the education system here in this country, and even here locally, you want to start seeing people flee the education system. And in Florida, it's something that can happen because of the way the school choice is being promoted. You continue down this road with policies like this, and that's what you'll see over a period of time. All right. In our remaining minutes here, wanted to get through a couple of things on the City Commission agenda for Wednesday. The biggest issue that I can see on there is something we wrote about last week, and it is the luxury hotel and restaurants which were proposed for a downtown property The lots are, their technical names are the Chevron Block and the Johns Block, and they're a corner of Duval Street and Martin Luther King Boulevard in between their downtown across, I think, catty-cornered to the Department of Education building. And a developer has, actually this one is from Houston, Texas, has offered $8 million to buy that land and build a couple of hotels. And, you know, we post this story and a lot of comments are asking, you know, first of all, do we really need more hotels downtown when we've got, you know, we just had the North American Properties Project open a hotel. And so, you know, is this going to be a something that's going to end up like the Washington Square Project, which was a hotel that now is just sitting there? Now, you know, the city doesn't have any control over this. They go ahead and sign up the developer. They get their $8 million, and it becomes a free market enterprise. For, you know, I mean, it's got a – they made their decision to build a hotel. I guess they could start building and then say, wait a minute, the economy's changed again, we're not going to build. But the city will already have their $8 million, and they lose control of the property. And we can see what can happen downtown with the Washington Square property. They lost control of that property. And now – you know, it's going to take years probably to get that rectified to a headed to a direction that is positive. Now, you look down the road to the North American Properties Project and you get a developer that is doing exactly what he said on a timeline that exactly how he proposed it. So it's a risky situation, but it will be interesting to see if there's any pushback on the city commission on this development. Because if you look at it, if you look at sort of the development projects that we've had come before the commission, we had the Northeast Gateway. We've had this now with the Frenchtown project, the development project. And we've had different results in terms of who was for it and who was against it. This will be interesting to see who supports this and who is against it. So that is one of the, obviously, the major issues they're going to be dealing with. Other issues, they're going to get an update, which I'll be interested in on affordable housing, let's see what they call it here. Excuse me for just 1 minute here and find this. It's called the Affordable Housing Program, update on the Affordable Home Construction Loan Program. Now, we've done a couple of stories on this, and you know what we're seeing in comments about this is people want to know exactly how this is working. They want to go back and look at, all right, a couple of years ago we spent money on these on this home construction loan. Who did the loan go to, and how's it working? Are they still there? You know, how do you assess the efficiency of this program? Because you know, we hear a lot of people talking about the lack of affordable housing. This is one of the programs to deal with that. And you know, something we didn't see, it'll be interesting on the Frenchtown project to see if there is a lot of requirement on affordable housing in that development. Now, I know it's one thing to say you're going to do affordable housing, but are there actually regulations within that project that will require there to be certain price constraints on those apartments or condos in terms of to promote affordable housing in that area? Another thing that will happen at the city commission meeting is they're going to get an update on the contaminated sites and consent orders. Now, this is something that's interesting because it doesn't get a lot of publicity, but the city of Tallahassee has some contaminated sites throughout the county or throughout the city. It says here that 5 of the city's 6 waste cleanup sites are in a federal or state-funded cleanup program that are managed by Florida Department of Environmental Protection are the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And due to their historic operation as a dry cleaning facility, gas station, or former military installation. So those are the categories that fall under the federal and state state plan. And just real quick, 4 of those cleanup sites, one of them is the Concord Custom Cleaners on North Monroe Street, Eastern Airlines / City of Tallahassee Aviation site on Capitol Circle Southwest, and the former Express Lane gas station on Centerville Road, and Fleet Fueling Station on Dupree Street. So, anyway, they're going to get an update on that. And we'll, I think that'll be an interesting issue to see exactly what stage they are in on all these environmentally sensitive areas, which they're trying to clean up. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you tuning in today for Above the Fold. After the long holiday weekend, we'll be back Thursday. We'll get you up to date on the city commission meeting and any other news and update, obviously, on the tropical storm. So please tune in. Until then, have a great afternoon. I'm Steve Stewart. You've been listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.